Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the sixth canto, chapter 1. Verse number 19. Sakrin mana Krishna padaravindayor niveshitam tad guna ragi yar iha na te yamam pasa Britas cha tad batan swapne pi pashyanti hi jirna nishkrita sakrin mana krishna padaravindayor Niveshitam Targuna Ragi Yarya Nate Yamam Pasa Britas Chatar Batan Swapne Pi Pashyanti Hi Chirna Nishkritya Sakrin Mana Krishna Padaravindayor Niveshitam Targuna Ragi Yar Iha Nate Yamam Pasha Britas Chatad Batan Swapne Pi Pashantihi Chirna Nishkrita Sakrin Mana Krishna Padaravindayor Niveshitam tad guna ragi yariha Nate yamam pasha britas chatad batan Swapne pi pashyantihi chirna nishkritaha Krishna Padara Vindayor Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor Nishitam Padin Panayi Nayi Padar Sakrin mana Krishna padada vindayor. Nisitam tad guna ragi yariha. Natiyamam pasha pritascha tad batan. Sampe pi pashanti chirna nishkrita. Sakrit. Once only. Mana. The mind. Krishna padada vindayo. Unto the two lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Niveshitam. Completely surrendered. Tat. Of Krishna. Gunaragi. Which is somewhat attached to the qualities. Name, fame, and paraphernalia. Yai. By whom? Iha. In this world. Na. Not. Te. Such persons. Yamam. Yamaraj. The superintendent of death. Pashabritya. Those who carry ropes to catch the sinful persons. Cha. And. Tat. His. Bhutan, order carriers, swapneapi, even in dreams, pashyanti, see, he, indeed, chiranishkritaha, who have performed the right type of atonement. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are completely freed of all sinful reactions. For they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. Purport. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva dharman parityajya mamikam saranam vraja aham tvam sarve papebhyo mokshayishyami masujaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This same principle is described here. Sakrin mana Krishna padada vindayo. If by studying Bhagavad Gita, one decides to surrender to Krishna, he is immediately freed from all sinful reactions. It is also significant that Sukadeva Goswami, having several times repeated the words Vasudeva Parayana and Narayana Parayana, finally says Krishna Padada Vindayo. Thus he indicates that Krishna is the origin of both Narayan and Vasudeva. Even though Narayan and Vasudeva are not different from Krishna, simply by surrendering to Krishna, one fully surrenders to all his expansions, such as Narayan, Vasudev, and Govinda. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mata parataram nanyat. There is no truth superior to me. There are many names and forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the Supreme Form. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Therefore, Krishna recommends to neophyte devotees that one should surrender unto him only, mam ekam. Because neophyte devotees cannot understand what the forms of Narayan, Vasudev, and Govinda are, Krishna directly says, mam ekam. Herein, this is also supported by the word Krishna padada vindayo. Narayan does not speak personally, but Krishna or Vasudev does. as in Bhagavad Gita, for example. Therefore, to follow the direction of Bhagavad Gita means to surrender unto Krishna. And to surrender in this way is the highest perfection of bhakti yoga. Pariksha Maharaj had inquired from Sukadeva Goswami how one can be saved from falling into the various conditions of hellish life. In this verse, Sukadeva Goswami answers that a soul who has surrendered to Krishna certainly cannot go to naraka, hellish existence. To say nothing of going there, even in his dreams, he does not see Yamaraj or his order carriers who are able to take one there. In other words, if one wants to save himself from falling into naraka, hellish life, he should fully surrender to Krishna. The word sakrit is significant because it indicates that if one sincerely surrenders to Krishna once, he is saved even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful activities. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Apichatsu duracharo bhajate mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyagvya vasitohi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. If one never for a moment forgets Krishna, he is safe even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful acts. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord also says, Neha bikramana sosti pratyavayo navajate salpamapyasya dharmasya triyate mahato bayat. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Elsewhere in the Gita 6:40, the Lord says, Nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatim tata gacchati. One who performs auspicious activity is never overcome by evil. The highest kalyana, auspicious activity, is to surrender to Krishna. That is the only path by which one can save oneself from falling down into hellish life. Srila Prabodhananda Sarasvati has confirmed this as follows. Kaivalyam narakayate tridasapur akasa pushpayate durdantendriya kala sarpa patali protkata damstrayate vishvam purna sakayate vidimahendra discha kritayate yat karunya kataksha vaip bhavat vatam tam guram evastumaha. The sinful actions of one who has surrendered unto Krishna are compared to a snake with its poison fangs removed. Protakata damstrayate. Such a snake is no longer to be feared. Of course, one should not commit sinful activities on the strength of having surrendered to Krishna. However, even if one who has surrendered to Krishna happens to do something sinful because of his former habits, such sinful actions no longer have a destructive effect. Therefore, one should adhere to the lotus feet of Krishna very tightly and serve him under the direction of the spiritual master. Thus, in all conditions, one will be akuto bhaya, free from fear. Om Gyanatma Dandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagatamayam Dadanti Swabhidantikam. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kaupa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. The verse again. Although not having fully realized Krishna, a person who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet, and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, are completely freed of all sinful reactions. For they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. So it's this verse that the whole rest of the chapter is going to prove that it's true. And it goes into the story of Ajamil. And it's a very wonderful story. So today is a very auspicious day. It's the beginning of Kartik, the Damodar Vrata. And it's also the appearance of, Murari Gupta. And it's also Lakshmi Puja. And it's the beginning of the fasting from Urdal, the last month of the Chaturmasya. So it's very auspicious time. This is a very good opportunity to reflect, and we can analyze and ask ourselves, what am I doing? Am I putting my full potential in what I'm doing? Am I really good at what I do? Ridiculously good at what I do? Am I pursuing my devotion, my mission, calling, purpose, whatever? There's a quote by Martin Luther King. He says that if you have not discovered something you're willing to die for, you're not fit to live. So we may spend our whole life busy being busy and get into our last moment and realize we didn't achieve our full potential. So we begin to analyze, we can know what's more important, what we have or who you are. And we're seeing, we're reading in the Bhagavatam how meaningful life can be. And simply by small daily improvements, performing devotional service, chanting the holy names, doing the simple activities that we do, that's what we should be focusing on. These small daily improvements in just a few things of what's most important. They can lead to a tsunami of great results. There's also a quote I heard that says that life is hard if you live it the easy way, and it's easy if you live it the hard way. So we should do something difficult every day. Because inside difficulty lies our power. Austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. In fact, Krishna says, austerity is my heart. So instead of becoming victims or addicted to distractions, it seems like today now there's people more interested in entertainment than learning. Or they're more interested in just snacking, tasting this, tasting that, instead of regulated nutritional meals, or just looking for quick fixes like pills. So it's the prayas instead of the shreyas. Trying to get immediate gratification instead of delaying it for something greater. So this is a nice time during Kartik to avoid distractions. Instead of living the easy, living free life, which we know ends up going down, down, all the way down in the highway to hell. It's interesting how they say highway, because it's like a path. And they say that habits is a way that you create, you go through a path like you walk through the same way every day, and you walk the same way every day, and the path becomes cleaner, becomes easier to walk through, you know. It turns into a road, turns into a highway. In the same way, it says that the mind, the thoughts that we have, that we think every day, over and over again, they create this path in your neurons that makes it very easy to think that. So you can see how habits we can form in our minds that makes them very easy to perform. So we should learn how to actually develop good habits so that we can show leadership. Prabhupada wants us to become leaders. You know, and every day, what do leaders do? They do the most difficult thing first. Some people exercise, you know, they do different things to prove. Just like doing hard things first, just for an example, a simple thing like exercises in the morning. They say that it lasts 14 hours from the energy that you get, from the endorphins that you get from exercise in the morning. So what are the modern yogis doing? Prabhupada describes that the test of a yogi, a devotee, or a self-realized soul, is that he's able to control his senses according to his plan. And we just read recently in this chapter that Prabhupada describes tapa. It's explained in the Smriti Shastras as follows. Manasas chandriyanam cha aikagram paramam tapa. Complete control of the mind and the senses and their complete concentration on one kind of activity is called tapa. And Prabhupada says, this is the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement. We're trying to teach people how to concentrate the mind on devotional service. And that's first class tapa. This is doing something difficult every day, tapa. And you become expert at that. They say if you devote yourself to one thing for 10 years, then you become genius at it. So we practice every day. So this habit is destiny. It's the most powerful form of action is this intentional repetition. And it takes 30 days, they say, to develop a habit. So it just so happens, Kartik is 30 days. It's about a month. So what is the power of Kartik? It says in the Skanda Purana, the pious result obtained by bathing in all holy places and giving all charities is not equal to 1/10,000,000th part of the result obtained by following the vow of Kartik. Just see how powerful it is. All holy places, yajñas, dakshinas, residents in Pushkara, Kurukshetra, and the Himalayas, and all given in charity, a pile of gold like Mount Meru, reside in Kartik, Lord Krishna's favorite month. So just see, if we just focus on the most powerful things, the things that really matter, it's like a leverage. They say if you have a lever big enough, you can move the earth. So this is a great leverage we have in this month. Even though it lasts for only a brief moment, the human form of life is very rare and valuable. In the same way, the brief month of Kartik is also very rare and valuable. In the Skanda Purana, it is said, other vows bring the results of a lifetime of pious deeds. The vow of Kartik brings the result of 100 lifetimes of pious deeds. Talk about leverage. O King of Brahmanas, a person who simply hears the glories of Kartik, of the Kartik vow, attains the result of fasting and bathing at sacred Akura Tirtha. Just by hearing about these glories, it's so powerful. So we should have a laser-like focus on just the few things that matter. So in this verse, this word sakrin, Prabhupada says, is very significant. And you know, probably it's different verses that uses this word, sakrin. Even, and here's a verse that uses that, sakrideva prapano vas, ta vyasmiti chaya yachate, abhayam sarvada tasmai, dadami tad ratam mama. To whomever even once surrenders to me, pleading I am yours, I give eternal fearlessness. This is my solemn vow. There's another nice verse in the 10th canto. Even if only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by mercy of Krishna as did Agasura. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters and he appears as an incarnation? Or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities and by whom all illusion is completely removed? And then the Madhya Lila, there's another nice verse. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the mature world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." Prabhupada talked about surrender in this verse today, in the purport, how important that is. Continuing in the Madhya Lila, "It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day I'm yours,' and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on." So again in the 10th canto, part of a verse here says, "Anyone who even once turns his mind towards you, the ever-blissful soul of all existence, no longer dedicates himself to serving family, life, at home, which simply robs a man of his good qualities." And a very nice prayer by Sridhar Swami. He says, "My dear Lord, when will I give up all sense gratification and engage incessantly in meditating upon you? And when will I take up residence in the hermitages of saintly devotees, free from false pride? Then I will become fully immersed in the inundation of nectar pouring from the devotees' lotus mouths as they chant sacred narrations about you. And then, O Lord Narahari, I will never again have to take a material body." So we're speaking about focusing on something, and it's a very nice example of Murari Gupta. He was very, we're going to hear about how he was so focused. And just to tell a little bit about him, though, first, he was one of the chief associates of Lord Chaitanya. And he kept a diary of Lord Chaitanya. And he had extensive notes on the 24 years of his life. And that's what's recorded as the Adi Lila. There's a nice verse glorifying him in the Adi Lila. Shri Murari Gupta Sukha Premera Bandara Prabhura Hridayadrave Suni Danyayandra. Murari Gupta, the 21st branch of the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was a storehouse of love of Godhead. His great humility and meekness melted the heart of Lord Chaitanya. So he wrote a book called the Sri Chaitanya Charita. And he belonged to the Vaidya physician family of Srihatta, that's the paternal home of Lord Chaitanya. And later he moved to Navadvip. So he was among the elders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya actually exhibited the Vraha form in his house. Excuse me. Okay. So one time Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda were sitting together in the house of Srivas Thakur, and Murari Gupta came and he paid his obeisances first to Lord Chaitanya and then to Lord Nityananda. And then Lord Chaitanya corrected him and said, "No, this is a mistake. You should offer obeisances to Nityananda because he's older." So the next time he did that, he paid obeisances to Lord Nityananda first, and Lord Chaitanya was pleased. And let's see. And one time Lord Chaitanya got sick because somebody offered Lord Chaitanya some food that had excessive ghee in it. So Lord Chaitanya got a little sick, and he went to Murari Gupta. And being a physician, he knew that if you give him a little water, then that would be the cure. So he gave Lord Chaitanya a little water, and he cured his sickness. So it was nice. So can I have a little water too? My throat's getting kind of dry. If anybody would like to, please. Thank you. Let's see here. So Lord Murari Gupta was a very great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. And his staunch faith was vividly described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Madhya Lila. And this is very nice to show you the example of someone who's very staunch and fixed, has a laser-like focus on something. It was a very example for us. So Lord Chaitanya is talking about Murari Gupta, and he said, previously I tried to induce Murari Gupta again and again to worship Krishna. Rajendra Kumar, he's the supreme sweetness. So he's telling him all these wonderful things about Krishna. He's the supreme personality of Godhead, he's the origin of all the incarnations, he's the source of everything, his pure transcendental love himself, he's a reservoir of pleasure, he's a reservoir of transcendental qualities, he's like a mine of gems, he's expert at everything, he's very intelligent, sober, and is the summit of all transcendental humors. So in this way, he's trying to convince him to worship Krishna, about how his character and everything about him is so sweet. And he said, just worship Krishna. But he said, for him, nothing else appeals to the mind. So he tried to tell him again and again, but Murari Gupta replied, he said, I'm your servant and your order carrier. I have no independent existence. But after he went home, he just couldn't sleep. He was just thinking about this all night, because how could he give up the association of his Lord Ramchandra? He was so overwhelmed. So he began to pray to the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra that death would come to him, because it wasn't possible for him to give the service of Lord Raghunath, nor was it possible to disobey Lord Chaitanya. So he couldn't sleep the whole night. And then in the morning, he came to see Lord Chaitanya, and he grabbed Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, and he was crying and submitted. Thank you, Prabhu. Excuse me. He told Lord Chaitanya, I sold my head to Lord Ramchandra. How can I withdraw my head from him? That would be too much pain. It's not possible for me to give up Raghunath's lotus feet. And then at the same time, how could I break your order? What can I do? So he appealed to Lord Chaitanya and said, just be merciful to me and grant that I may die before you right now, then all the doubts would be finished. So hearing this, Lord Chaitanya became very happy, and he raised Murari Gupta up and he embraced him. And he said, all glories to Murari Gupta. Your method of worship is firmly fixed, so much so that even upon my request, your mind did not turn. So this is an amazing example of someone who has such, you know, firm faith and focus in his Lord. So he said that I accept Murari Gupta as my life and soul. When I hear of his humility, it perturbs my very life. So there's another example of someone who's very focused in the midst of the greatest distractions. And we know Haridas Thakur, he was the prime example of this. And he knew the glories of the holy name. And we know the story when he was praising the holy name, and he was amongst there was a group of scholars, and they were talking about the holy name, how it gives liberation and frees one from sins. And Haridas Thakur said, that's not actually the purpose of the holy name. The purpose of the holy name is to get love of God. All these other things, like free from sin and liberation, is just like a byproduct. It's like just the first rays of the sun. Before you even see the sun dissipates darkness. So the first rays of even beginning offenseless chanting, that liberates one from all sinful reactions. But the reality is that, you know, the holy name, the whole purpose is to develop love for Krishna. So that's when that one personality, I forget his name, he said that it's Gopala Chakravarti. Yeah, he said that if one's not liberated by Nama Vyas, then you may certainly cut off your nose. And then Haridas Thakur said, yes, I will cut off my nose if that doesn't happen. So then everyone realized that this was a great offense to him. And eventually we know what happened. His nose fell off with leprosy. But sometime after that then, Haridas Thakur, he was staying near the home of Advaita Acharya, and he lived in this cave. And actually the devotees were glorifying his behavior after this incident when they were talking about Haridas Thakur. And he was just sitting in his cave, focusing on the holy name, chanting it very loudly. And at the night, there was moonlight, it was full moon that night. And it made the ways of the Ganges look very dazzling. And all the directions were very clear and bright. So we can analyze here, this is the epitome of distraction. This is the source of all distractions that we're going to hear here. And it's a personality. So what happened at that time, in this beautiful scene, this woman appeared in the courtyard. And the beauty of her body was so bright that it tinged the entire place with a yellow hue. And even the scent of her body perfumed all directions. And the tinkling of her ornaments startled the ear. And after coming there, the woman, she offered obeisances to the Tulsi plant. And then she circumambulated it. And then she came to the door where Haridas Thakur was sitting. And with folded hands, she offered obeisances at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. And then sitting there, she spoke in a very sweet voice. My dear friend, you are the friend of the entire world. You're so beautiful and qualified. I have come here only for union with you. My dear sir, kindly accept me and be merciful toward me, for it is a characteristic of all saintly persons to be kind toward the poor and fallen. And then after saying this, she began to manifest all these various postures, which even the greatest philosophers would lose their patience upon seeing. But Haridas Thakur was immovable. He was deeply determined, and he began to speak to her very mercifully. He said, I've been initiated into a vow of performing a great sacrifice by chanting the holy name a certain number of times a day. And as long as the vow to chant is unfulfilled, I do not desire to do anything else. When I finish chanting, then I have an opportunity to do anything. So just sit down at the door here and, hear the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And as soon as the chanting's finished, I'll satisfy your desire. So after saying this, Haridas Thakur continued to chant, and the woman was sitting before him, and she began to hear the chanting of the holy name. And then he chanted and chanted, and the morning appeared, and the woman saw that it was morning, so she left. And then for 3 days, she approached Haridas Thakur in this way, exhibiting feminine postures that would bewilder the mind of even Lord Brahma. But Haridas Thakur was so absorbed, he was so fixed, he had this laser-like concentration on the holy names. And therefore, those feminine poses the woman exhibited were just like crying in the forest. And at the end of the night of the third day, the woman spoke to Haridas Thakur. My dear sir, for 3 days you have cheated me by giving me false assurances. For I see that throughout the entire day and night, your chanting of the holy name is never finished. And then Haridas Thakur said, my dear friend, what can I do? I have made a vow. How can I give it up? After offering obeisances to Haridas Thakur, the woman said, I am the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I came here to test you. So this is the epitome of all distractions and illusion of the things that could get us out of our focus. And this is a very nice purport, which I'd like to read by Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, the Lord Krishna says, Daivihi esha gunamayi mamaya dratya yatmam eva ye prapajante mayame tam tarante te. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of mature nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. This was actually proved by the behavior of Haridas Thakur. Maya enchants the entire world. Indeed, people have forgotten the ultimate goal of life. They're just busy being busy. Because of the dazzling attractions of the material world. But this dazzling attraction, especially the attractive beauty of a woman, is meant for persons who are not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says, Mameva ye prabhajante, mayam itam taranti te. One who is surrendered unto me cannot be conquered by the illusory energy. The illusory energy personally came to test Haridas Thakur, but herein she admits her defeat, for she was unable to captivate him. How is this possible? It was because Haridas Thakur, fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by chanting the holy names of the Lord 300,000 times daily. What a vow, huh? What a difficult, an austerity. And she told Haridas Thakur, I've previously captivated the minds of even Brahma. What to speak of others? Your mind alone have I failed to attract. And then this is the last purport I read by Srila Prabhupada. Beginning from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone without exception is attracted by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, human beings, animals, birds, beasts, trees, plants, are all attracted by sexual desire. This is the illusion of Maya. Everyone, whether man or woman, thinks that he is the enjoyer of the illusory energy. In this way, everyone is captivated and engaged in material activities. However, because Haridas Thakur was always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was always busy satisfying the senses of the Lord, this process alone saved him from the captivation of Maya. This is practical proof of the strength of devotional service. Because of his full engagement in the service of the Lord, he could not be induced to enjoy Maya. The verdict of the Shastras is that a pure Vaishnava or devotee of the Lord never thinks of enjoying the material world, which culminates in sex life. He never thinks himself an enjoyer. Instead, he always wants to be enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternal, transcendental, beyond the perception of sense gratification, and beyond the material qualities. Only if a living entity gives up the false conception that the body is the self and always thinks himself an eternal servant of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, can he surpass the influence of Maya. A pure living entity who thus attains the stage of anartha nivritti, cessation of everything unwanted, has nothing to enjoy in this mature world. He attains a stage only by properly performing the functions of devotional service. He only does the things that matter, the most important things. One attains this stage only by properly performing the functions of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has written, in the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes freed from all material attachments, attains steadiness and self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. If one is actually executing devotional service, then anarthas, the unwanted things associated with mature enjoyment, will automatically disappear. So it's a very nice section in the Antya Lila there. And it goes on to describe how important it was, this holy name, and how we should have faith in this, because not only is the holy name so powerful, but everyone has realized this. Narda came, Prahlad came. They came in to enjoy the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the goddess of fortune came. They came in the form of human beings just to taste the holy name. And what to speak of other people, even Krishna himself came to chant the holy names like that. So here is the last verse. The holy name of Krishna is so attractive that anyone who chants it, including all living entities, moving and non-moving, and even Lord Krishna himself, becomes imbued with love of Krishna. This is the effect of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Jai. Thank you for your kind attention. Is there any comments, realizations? Sura? Oh, I thought he raised his hand. Okay, so thank you very much. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Sri Kartik. He died.